in the squadron. They called him Bullets, but we call him Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly is on the air on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
All right. Wow. Lots going on right now. The Supreme Court is, it's all Trump all the time. They're talking about presidential immunity. They were talking about it all morning. Supreme Court arguments about could President Trump be prosecuted for stuff he did on January 6th and before? In my opinion, of course not. In my opinion, absolutely not. And I think that will be the opinion of 6 out of 9 Supreme Court justices, that the president does have immunity and can't be prosecuted for things that are basically in the job description. All right. He is to make sure, the chief executive, that the laws are being executed faithfully. That's part of what he does. It's inherent to his job. And if he has concerns about the election of 2020, as I do, those concerns, they're almost grander, bigger than anything he might personally be worried about. And part of his job is to protect the presidency, not just President Trump, but the presidency. And he had every right. In fact, he had a duty to explore all that stuff. Good for him. He wanted to be there in the Supreme Court today listening to the arguments. And it's not like when you're a defendant or something like that, you're not right there at the table. He would have been like in the stands with the people just watching. He would not have been able to, I think, pass notes or anything like that. It's only the lawyers, and he's got some great lawyers down there. But the judge would not let him do that because there's another judge, of course, this silly case with the Stormy Daniels and the National Enquirer. And the more I read about it, the more I get into the transcript, the angrier I get, truly, that they are doing this to him. Now, they did not really think it was going to come this far. I don't think they ever thought it was going to come to this. Right. They just had no anticipation. They thought, again, once they indicted Trump, once they arrested him, once the mugshot, once we saw that, we'd all wet our pants and run to Ron DeSantis. Oh, Ron DeSantis, you're so nice and gentlemanly. You wouldn't do this. Right. Well, Ron DeSantis had big problems of another kind. And he just had absolutely no ability to lead, no ability to read the room, no ability to kind of get the sense of the country. He just wasn't ready, and maybe he'll never be ready. He's the guy. We want him. And the prosecution, they never thought they'd have to actually do this stuff in public. Now that they're doing it, they're pretending that this is a valid case. It ain't a valid case. Now, once again, he is turning rotten grapes and lemons into lemonade and beautiful, beautiful champagne and wine by taking opportunities to campaign, taking opportunities to get down with the people. You got the construction worker stuff yet? It was totally awesome. Last week he went to the bodega, right? He was Democrats were so furious, and it was a great visit because it highlighted the crime issue, it highlighted anarchy, it highlighted Alan Bragg's dishonesty and is just totally out of sync with New York values, letting people or prosecuting people who defended themselves, like Jose Alba. Remember that? All right. So do we have it all? I think we got it all. Here he is this morning right on Park Avenue. And now he's not hanging out on Park Avenue. It's not like that. He went to go see the construction workers who were building the great big new J.P. Morgan Bank of America. Not the bank, the J.P. Morgan headquarters. Diego, you keep looking around. Do we got it now? You ready? All right. Hit it. Well, it doesn't sound like much. Where's the USA? 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 Here we go.
USA! 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 USA!
And he's shaking hands, and people are loving it. The hard hats. The good old hard hats. They've always been there, and they always will be there. I'd like it if some of them smoked less dope. You know, since we made it basically a felony to look at women now and whistle and hoot and holler, you know, they basically built those fences, I think, around the construction sites. You can't do that anymore. You notice that's not a thing anymore? The construction workers always used to do that. It was part of the job. But now they can't do that. So, I mean, not all of them, but Even 5%, 10% is a lot. They're smoking the weed. Now, none of these guys were, but I've seen it. Anyway, he talked to them. They talked to him. And, ooh, one guy had a special message for Joe Biden. Did you see this one? Did you see this one? All right, let's see it. Let's hear the special message for Joe Biden. Hmm? All right, never mind. It was a let's go, Joe. It was a let's go, Brandon moment. It was a great, this big grizzled guy just said, you know, yeah, I got a message for Joe Biden. And he said he let it rip. So he's a very interesting person. Now, it looks like it's coming out that David Pecker, who's testifying, and the plot, they even got me saying it, the agreement among friends was that we are going to be on the lookout for stories that will hurt you. And we're going to try to bury those stories, and we're going to look for stories that will help you, and we're going to try to highlight those stories. And which newspaper did this? The National Enquirer. So what? He gets one newspaper out of 5,000 to help him, to give him a break. These newspapers work full time for Joe Biden. They do it all the time. And not only newspapers, I mean, all of government. The FBI, the CIA, they do that work for Democrats all the time. They did it in 2020. Remember the Hunter Biden laptop? That was legit. But law enforcement, the FBI, went around telling people that this is not legit. They created disinformation, misinformation, and went around telling Facebook, not only Facebook, not just sending them an email. Mr. Zuckerberg, it's the FBI. We'd like to have a talk with you. Yes, you may hear about a laptop purported to be belonging to the Bidens, but we believe that it's Russia disinformation, and you should do whatever you can with your platform, Facebook, to minimize any mention, indeed censor any mention. That's just our recommendation here from the FBI. That's pretty hard to resist, and I have Mark Zuckerberg on tape saying that that's what he did. He minimized it because the FBI told him to. And now David Pecker can't do this. Some guy named David Pecker, who is a genuine friend of Donald Trump, genuine. They met all the way back in the 1990s. Genuine. They're genuine friends. And he can't do this for a friend. Well, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Now, I don't believe that he hooked up with Stormy Daniels. David Pecker, I don't believe, thinks that either. He senses that maybe there was some sort of thing going on between Trump and Karen McDougal. Okay. Who's Karen McDougal? An ex-Playboy playmate. What are you going to do? What are we going to do about that? What are you going to do about that? I don't think he did, but let's say he did. Now what? Now what? Now what? We're going to run away? We're going to pretend we're all perfect? We're going to pretend that this hasn't happened throughout human history? We aren't going to acknowledge that people are people, human beings. I know this, that everybody has baggage. Everybody has dirt. Everybody has stuff they don't want to see on the front page. And it's why most people, a lot of people, are afraid to go into politics, right? Because, well, that could come out. Now, that says something actually about Trump, that he was willing to do it anyway, right? And why? For the country. For the country. And most people won't, and he did. And he didn't do it until late in life, right? He was 69 years old when he declared for president. 69. Did he need to do it? Did he need more money? Did he need more fame? Did he need more power? He had it all. He had all of that stuff. So stuff that keeps most people from running, he did it anyway. I admire that. I really do. And I get that they're feasting right now on the fake news. Oh, he may have been with this Playboy playmate. Oh, my gosh. I mean, can we be real here? All right. He's paying an enormous, if it's true, he's paying an enormous price, right? Because now everybody knows, or everybody thinks they know. And it's all over the place, everywhere. And he's got to sit there and watch strangers talk about something that happened in 2006, 2005, a million years ago, basically. Yeah, it's ancient history. So he's paying a huge price. Maybe this is a form of, I don't know. I don't know how the Lord works. But I know that people fail all the time in their personal life. There's the personal life and the public life. Hell, Bill Clinton was fooling around in the Oval Office with people who worked for him, interns, and Democrats swooned. They absolutely swooned. And they had me snowed. I was out there defending him. Well, that has nothing to do. It actually had a lot to do with it, what Bill Clinton did with that girl in that office. And Donald Trump is not alleged to have done anything like that. Anything. So I'm sorry he's going through this, having these lawyers giggle and smirk. This is all to embarrass him, and because they're all furious. They're all furious because he beat Hillary Clinton in 2016, and they can't let that go. They'll never let it go. Well, I hope they're having fun, because this will not make one iota of difference in the end. They are disgracing themselves. Did I tell you about George H.W. Bush? I mean, look, it happens, and this is not permission for it to happen. This is a lesson that it shouldn't happen, but, you know, we all have things to live up to, and sin is sin, and right is right, and wrong is wrong, and we all sin, but that doesn't. But George H.W. Bush had a long-term affair with a woman named Jennifer Fitzgerald. I'm talking about George Bush 1. And it really broke Barbara's heart. And Barbara almost committed suicide over it back in the 1970s. This is a heavy thing. It takes a toll on marriage. And I'm not saying George H.W. Bush is the worst person in the world, but this week, somebody wrote a book about George Bush's character. And that person who used to work for George H.W. Bush is saying, like, isn't it sad that we don't have George H.W. Bush anymore, but we have Donald Trump to contend with? And Donald Trump is an animal, and Donald Trump is this. He's the worst. Because the Bushes still hate Trump, most of them. You know, you see the hypocrisy, right? So I feel bad, but I also feel that he's going to prevail. And I don't want to get too down. The Lord works in mysterious ways. Let's see what else is going on here. Let's see what the fake news. Fox 5 is okay. Cut 14. What are they saying about the Supreme Court hearing on the immunity case? Cut 14.
Well, the 9 Supreme Court justices will hear arguments over whether former President Donald Trump should be granted immunity from prosecution for acts allegedly committed while in office.
Trump faces charges that he plotted to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election, and he warns the decision could potentially open up other presidents to criminal charges. However, Special Counsel Jack Smith says that Trump's behavior continued after he left office, and he should be prosecuted.
The question here is really going to be whether Trump has full immunity, whether there is some sort of fact-finding test, where there's an outer perimeter of a president's immunity from criminal prosecution.
If Smith prevails, the court's decision could determine if the former president will face a trial before voters head to the ballot box in November. Justices will rule by the end of June.
Well, thank you, Ken and Barbie. That was very superficial and very fake news of you. Wow. Just checking. Just checking, Fox 5. There are some bright lights over there, but maybe, you know, Fox has gone woke. Fox has gone woke. Roger Ailes, we miss you, baby. Be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Greg Kelly. Entertaining and informative. On the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Oh, my God. Holy cow. I forgot. Harvey Weinstein gets a new trial in New York. That case was just thrown out. Harvey Weinstein, the judge overdid it, kind of like in the Trump case, kind of like in the E. Jean Carroll case. You know, Trump is no predator. Harvey Weinstein, well, that's a different story. But as bad as Harvey Weinstein might be, you know, you charge him with a crime. Okay, Harvey, we believe you, you know, you raped this woman. Well, you can't have 17 other women come in and complain about the bad date they had with Harvey. That may or may not be true, but it's not germane. It's not relevant. And the judge let all this other stuff in to clearly kind of impact, oh, influence the jury. Well, this must be a bad guy. Well, maybe he is, but if you're not charging him with a crime for treating these other women badly or harming them in any way, you can't have them come in and just shoot their mouths off about stuff if you're not charging it. That's kind of like the American way. It's pretty much basic. So Weinstein is still going to be in jail for the extended future. He was convicted on rape charges in California, and I think he's got like almost 16 years left on that sentence. And he's got to be in his, what, late 60s at this point? So he's going to be in jail for a long time. If, well, who knows? There might be a reversal over there. This is somewhat relevant to the Trump situation, big time, actually. Because, well, it just shows you that the E. Jean Carroll stuff is probably going to go away, because they had all kinds of women come in with all kinds of stories that were like irrelevant to the case. And they've gotten more and more weirdly permissive in these courts about this stuff, especially if they just decide. If the mob decides they don't like the defendant, the judge seems to take the cue. All right, the National Enquirer guy is still on the stand, David Pecker. I think he is, I can't tell if he's a good guy or a bad guy. I think he's kind of a good guy. I don't think he did anything wrong. And just in terms of his character, people are like, well, the National Enquirer. Well, we expect that out of the National Enquirer. I never went to the National Enquirer for real news. And they're acting like this is a crime that David Pecker promised to give Donald Trump good publicity. He didn't even get paid for it. Actually, that wasn't part of the deal. The good publicity. So one paper in the universe giving Donald Trump, even the New York Post back in 2016 was breaking Trump's chops all the time. And they're still back at it because, well, the billionaire owner, Rupert, it's a complicated situation between him and Trump. Very complicated, or maybe not so complicated. All right. Let's see here. Do we have the Trump guy saying that the this is one of the construction workers shooting his mouth off that Donald Trump met with this morning? Cut 25.
We're very close in New York, I understand, and we're leading in the country by a lot.
That's not that's not a construction worker. He sounds rather familiar. Hold on. All right, here's a construction worker. Go ahead.
What's it like seeing so many Republicans in Manhattan, so many Trump supporters in Manhattan? Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. It's turning now. Trump's turn again.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
You.
Ah! He didn't even bother with the let's go, Brandon. He just hit it. Salt of the earth, great guys, construction workers, you know, just telling it like it is. And they know so much. They're so skilled and they pick up on everything. So savvy, so New York. Good for that guy. All right, now I want to hear from Trump. Cut 25.
We're very close in New York, I understand, and we're leading in the country by a lot. Poll just came out a little while ago, as you saw yesterday, that we're up in every swing state and up by a lot in every swing state. So I think we're going to do very well, and we're going to make a play for New York. I just heard there was a very good poll came out. Normally, a Democrat will win New York. Biden is the worst president in history.
Yes, he is. Can you imagine that? Let's turn New York and New Jersey red.
Greg Kelly, on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Oh, boy. These Supreme Court guys, they have ginormous brains. Now, you can usually follow it for the first couple of minutes, and then they go, whoa, way down constitutional rabbit holes. You have no idea what they're talking about. All these decisions from 1865, and Brownell versus Thompson, and in that case, in the adjudicate, it just gets so you don't know what they're talking about. Generally speaking, though, the earlier, the sooner you start the argument, the more basic and blunt and straightforward it is. So this guy's name, he's for Trump. He's the Trump attorney, John Sauer. This is all related to the January 6th Jack Smith phony case, right? They want to send Donald Trump to jail for January 6th. It is a crime, that whole notion right there. But anyway, the president should have immunity on these issues. And that's what the lead lawyer here is saying. His name is John Sauer. D, initial D, John Sauer. That's very prestigious, by the way. I always wanted to do that to my own name. G. Raymond Kelly. Doesn't that just sound kind of august somehow? G. Raymond. Anyway, hit it, counselor.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. Without presidential immunity from criminal prosecution, there can be no presidency as we know it. For 234 years of American history, no president was ever prosecuted for his official acts. The framers of our Constitution viewed an energetic executive as essential to securing liberty. If a president can be charged, put on trial, and imprisoned for his most controversial decisions as soon as he leaves office, that looming threat will distort the president's decision-making precisely when bold and fearless action is most needed. Every current president will face de facto blackmail and extortion by his political rivals while he is still in office. The implications of the court's decision here extend far beyond the facts of this case. Could President George W. Bush have been sent to prison for obstructing an official proceeding or allegedly lying to Congress to induce war in Iraq? Could President Obama be charged with murder for killing U.S. citizens abroad by drone strike? Could President Biden someday be charged with unlawfully inducing immigrants to enter the country illegally for his border policies? The answer to all these questions is no. Prosecuting the president for his official acts is an innovation with no foothold in history or tradition and incompatible with our constitutional structure. The original meaning of the executive vesting clause, the framers' understanding and intent, an unbroken historical tradition spanning 200 years, and policy considerations rooted in the separation of powers all counsel against it. I welcome the court's questions.
All right. Wow. I could follow that. I could actually follow that. Again, it does get very, very esoteric is the word. Esoteric. But that was just the warm up. Let's see. This is, I hear, is pretty straightforward as well. And gets into it with Ketanji Brown Jackson, the newest Supreme Court justice. Remember, he promised it would be not only a woman, but a black woman. I find that probably so degrading to the black woman who ultimately gets nominated. What difference does that make? What about the Harvard Law degree? What about all the work I did? What about this? What about that? No, I'm just interested in your skin and your organs. Very sad. All right. This is Mr. Sauer versus the liberal justice. Go ahead.
Benjamin Franklin said, as we view the prosecution of a chief executive as something that everybody cried out against as unconstitutional. And what George Washington said is, we're worried about factional strife, which will...
No, I'm also, let me put this worry on the table. If the potential for criminal liability is taken off the table, wouldn't there be a significant risk that future presidents would be emboldened to commit crimes with abandon while they're in office? It's right now the fact that we're having this debate because OLC has said that presidents might be prosecuted. Presidents from the beginning of time have understood that that's a possibility. That might be what has kept this office from turning into the kind of crime center that I'm envisioning. But once we say, no criminal liability, Mr. President, you can do whatever you want, I'm worried that we would have a worse problem than the problem of the president feeling constrained to follow the law while he's in office.
I respectfully disagree with that because the regime you've described is the regime we've operated under for 234 years. There has not been an expectation based on 234 years of unbroken political.
All right, let me ask you another question. Let me ask you another question about this.
All right, the constitutional watchers, the people who really know this stuff, says that that was a humiliating moment for Ketanji Brown Jackson. She was talking so fast, I really don't know if I totally agree. Do you? So is there anything else? Ooh, do we want to hear from Judge Kavanaugh? Boy, that guy went through hell. That guy went through hell, didn't he? All right, I'm going to come back to that. Hey, Chris Christie, the nerve of this guy. They're still making fun of him for this, and he deserves it. Chris Christie, you know, no friend of Trump, of course, because he's all out for Chris Christie. We all know that. Very selfish guy, bad governor. Remember his shtick? His shtick was just insulting teachers at those PTA meetings or union meetings or those town halls. Remember the time he started calling that veteran who was concerned about his campus closing, the Rutgers Law School or one of the satellite campuses closing? And he said, he's an idiot. I'm the governor, idiot. Sit down. The governor. I'm the governor. Talked about it like he was the emperor. I'm the emperor. What are you going to do about it, idiot? This is a guy, again, it all went to his head. It's too easy. But anyway, he's sitting there looking like a total slob. You can be overweight and be neat. I'm overweight right now, and I'm a little bit dumpy right now, but I'm no Chris Christie. My God. And this guy has the nerve to talk about Trump this way. Listen to this. Go ahead.
A criminal trial is a really awful thing to go through. And if you look at Trump physically right now, he looks terrible.
What? He looks like a warrior. Some people think he's on Ozempic. He's lost a lot of weight. He looks fantastic. The age is not an issue. He's leaner than he's been in years. And when Chris Christie says that, of course, he can barely fit into the chair. And he's got that belt, that thin belt that makes it look like, you know, he looks like a planet. I've never seen, you know, there are people who are overweight. He's so round. And he's sitting there and he's railing against Trump. And he says, like, look, I know him. I know him. That's why I know more about him than you do. I don't think he knows him well at all. And you got to remember this about Chris. I know something about the arrangement that everybody has forgotten. Chris Christie worked with Trump, helped him get ready for the 2020 debates. He helped him get ready for the 2020 debates. All right. So Trump was president when? 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020. And he was there getting ready for the debate. And now suddenly he's the worst person in the world. Why? Because of January 6th? So, Chris Christie, are you saying you buy all this crap about January 6th? He does, because the left-wing media does. And that's where he is truly at home. And that's where he wants to return, to those dopey Sunday panel shows. That's what they all live for. Just put me on one of those shows. You can have those shows. That's all he wants. That and more money and more food. And fake stories about, I don't want to bring her up. I don't want to bring her up, but I can't stand that guy. And I got a picture of him actually with Rudy Giuliani in the fall of 2020. They're at the White House and they're helping Trump get ready for the debate against Joe Biden. How about that one? Hey, where's Joe Biden been, by the way? Our friends in Israel are being slaughtered and they're being harmed here in America. And he is silent. Remember that whole silence is complicity thing? That stuff that his old man told him? Well, that's what I'm seeing right now. Right now it's happening. Hey, do me a favor. Cut sex 16. I don't really know or care what Eric Adams is up to half the time because he's not really the mayor. He's just a playboy. He doesn't know what he's doing. And he's got two guys who are actually running the show as he's running around all over the place. But I am curious. Cut 16.
Nearly $112 billion. That's the new fiscal year budget proposed by New York Mayor Adams. Gone are most of the cuts the mayor at first thought would be needed. But he's still cutting millions from the libraries, cutting the popular composting program. And critics say hanging on to $1 billion just in case. Of course, that's something many New Yorkers do in their own budget. So is the city doing this that well? Where's the money coming from? The mayor says, yes, it's okay for now. Here's N.J. Burkett.
Stop. I actually like N.J. Burkett. Can't stand the fake news, but I like this N.J. guy. Keep going.
Mayor Adams is relentlessly optimistic. He insists that the city has more than recovered from the pandemic and the future is bright.
Like it or not, we're doing the damn thing.
That's right.
We're doing the damn thing.
He unveiled his 2025 budget, which restores most of the cuts he proposed last year. Funding restored to education, preschool, and municipal services. The NYPD will get two more academy classes, which means more officers on the streets and in the transit system.
We have not laid off one city worker. We have not raised taxes.
Critics, he says, should be pleased, but they're not.
We've maintained all along these cuts were never necessary in the first place, and we've got the money to restore these cuts, so let's just do it.
Council Budget Chairman Justin Brannon says the mayor is being too frugal. The fact is, tax revenue this year was more than $2 billion higher, but Adams' executive budget leaves more than $1 billion unspent. Money that could be spent on
libraries. I can't take it anymore. Can you? I will say this about the libraries. I was in one not too long ago, public library. Man, oh, man, oh, man. These things, really dirty. All kinds of, quite frankly, I'm sorry, but homeless people there. And, you know, I guess they don't have too many places to go. But I would love to see the libraries cleaned up a little bit. I love going to the library when I was a kid, the one on Grand Avenue in Baldwin. That was I took out all those Pilot Small books, Policeman Small, Pilot Small. I also like the Babar, the elephant, the Babar elephant one, right? That was fantastic. But the rest of it, not so much. Hey, put Carol on the phone. Is Carol there? Go ahead, please. Yes. Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Greg?
Yeah.
Okay, this is Kathleen. I called yesterday.
And
I gave you the, and I said what they need to do is get the fire department.
I should have told you we're instituting a new, you can't call the station 30 days. You got to wait 30 days. You're calling yesterday? You got more, you got another update? All right, what's the update?
The update is 2 o'clock this morning, they turned on the sprinklers. So
At Columbia?
At Columbia.
Yeah, yep. That's fine. Good, yeah, but look, bringing out the hoses is a whole other ball of wax. You know that, and if you don't know that, you can look it up. And the firefighters aren't going to do that. They shouldn't do that. We need them to put out the fires. I know it would be fun, but Carol, it wasn't a serious proposal. And if you are serious, I'm seriously telling you, it's a silly idea.
Okay. All right. I'll talk to you in 30 days.
Yeah, bye. 30 days. No, I'm okay. You call back next week if you want. Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah, you can't do that. I do. So she talked about they put the sprinklers on for those Columbia kids who are still insisting on their anti-Jewish rage and nobody can go to school until Israel withdraws from Gaza and ceasefire and all this stuff. Ain't going to happen. We can talk about that right after they kill the last Hamas terrorist. Thank you very much. Be right back.
Greg Kelly, on the Red Apple Podcast Network. Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Hey, isn't that cool? I just think it's so great. Construction workers very early this morning as Donald Trump had to be in court. Man, he gets there early. He's got to stay late. They're not fooling around anymore. No more half days. Full day Thursday, full day tomorrow. Some little things. I'm going through the transcript. This is unusual. They're actually posting the transcript every night so you can see what's actually going on in that room and you can see what a disgrace all of this is. The little things. It's even the little things that I don't like. So here's a guy who gets up, it's the prosecutor, and he's complaining about all of Trump's Truth Social posts, trying to get him into trouble, trying to get him held in contempt. And Donald Trump still has a right to tweet political things. And the defense is saying, look, if he says make America great again in the tweet, that's obviously political. It makes the whole thing political. So the lawyer, the prosecutor says, I am not sure there could be a straight-faced argument that these posts, all within the last 12 days, are somehow not related to this criminal proceeding. And throwing MAGA into the post doesn't make it political. It makes it ominous. It makes it ominous? Make America great again makes it ominous? How is that? You see where they're coming from? They hate MAGA. And they have, some of them have tricked themselves or allowed themselves to be tricked, or they're just lying or whatever. But MAGA, to a lot of people, is, oh, gosh, that's the right-wing extremists. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's about having a border. It's about not sexualizing children. It's about not getting into needless foreign wars and then proceeding to lose them. Hmm? It's about respect for life. It's about not having 44% taxation for capital gains. Have you heard that one? They think that's going to target the rich. You wait. You wait. That will tank the economy. That will screw the working man. There is a real trickle-down effect. Reagan was not wrong. They know it. Man, now that Biden has made his money, he does not want you to have yours. MAGA makes it ominous. How about that? Let's see here. The defendant is having his day in court. Unfortunately, he is still doing everything he can to undermine this process. It has to stop. How is he undermining the process? By speaking his mind? Right? Why is it that everybody in the world, including me, including you, we can rip on our congressman, we can rip on our mayor, we can rip on our councilman? That's our right, that's our duty, that's our obligation, that's certainly our option, don't you think? You can praise them, you can criticize them. You can do it to the legislative branch, you could do it to the executive branch, but wait a second, you can't do it to the judicial branch? Why the hell not? Why not? If I'm going in front of a congressional hearing, I can argue with those guys. I can say whatever I want. And they can try to hold me in contempt, I guess. But the whole country holds those people in contempt. Now, why can't I say things about the court? Why can't Donald Trump say things? He's in the middle of this. What makes them so special? Why is it that in every other kind of political, any other governmental transaction or forum or whatever, you're allowed to be critical. You're allowed to. But not here. And it's true. Stormy Daniels, Michael Cohen, all of them have been ripping Donald Trump to shreds on Twitter, or at least it hasn't worked. But they're yelling and screaming their heads off, not only on Twitter, in podcasts, in books, on TV shows. And quite frankly, I think it's their right. I don't like them. I disagree with them, but they're allowed to do that. But Trump isn't allowed. It's insane. And who is this guy, Judge Mercheron, anyway? Juan Mercheron. You know, what makes him so special? Why is everybody kissing his ass? Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor. No, Your Honor. Oh, my gosh, Your Honor. Yes. And what's up with the black robe? I'm actually really serious about this. Bloomberg appointed something like 450 different judges. You know who this guy is? He's a Bloomberg appointee. He was appointed by Bloomberg. What's the big deal about being a judge? I mean, I don't know if everybody's entitled to respect. You earn respect, don't you? We don't have to, because he's wearing a black robe, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor. Everybody stand, all rise. Screw that crap. That needs to go. This is a tradition. I don't know why. You know where it stems. You know where it comes from. Lawyers being obsequious with the judge because they want to get on the judge's good side. And these judges, these lawyers, often have to appear in court again, so they want to stay on the lawyer's good side. Well, I don't give a damn, and I don't think Trump does either, and the whole damn thing is a farce, and he should be. I think he has a duty to speak out, but the gag order, they're not – I mean, can you imagine if they try to throw him in jail? I just – some other things here. That judge is giving the defense a hard time every single time something comes up. Your Honor, we look at Mr. Avenatti's tweet. You don't have to interpret or read into it, but we have to be able to have some inference for what Mr. Avenatti means when he is saying that. And what he was saying was he was ripping on Michael Cohen and how unfair this is to Donald Trump. We got his tweet. And this is what the judge says. Have you spoken with Mr. Avenatti about what he means? Mr. Blanche, Trump's lawyer. No, of course not. The judge. How can you interpret what he means when you haven't spoken to him? Mr. Blanche. From his words, the words he's using. We don't have to talk to Mr. Avenatti. We have to interpret what he's written. Like, what can you know about the law if you didn't talk to the lawmaker judge. You interpret the words, you bonehead. I am sick of this guy, sick of his the daughter making money off of this case. He couldn't even be on the jury, let alone judge the case. It's crazy.